Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. I am not going to delay the show any, because we have a very exciting show. Our Bahamut Farms farm manager and student minister of agriculture will be hosting tonight's show, and he has a special guest that I'm going to let him announce. Dr. Ridgely, if you could press that one on your dial again. And also, Dr. Ridgely's guest for tonight, Mr. Swanson, if you can press the one as well. That brings you both to the top of my queue. And I see you. Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes, sir. Alaykum salam. The brother was cut off. He was on, but he said he cut off. I just talked to him, so he's going to try again. So they just cut him off. So look for him.
Yes, sir.
Coming from a 404 line.
Okay.
Did anything happen?
Not yet. Just want to say, Mr. Swanson, Brother Swanson, if you're on the line, press the 1 on your keypad to put you at the top of our queue. I don't see a 404 yet, but I'm looking. We got a lot of people on. People are excited about tonight's show.
Well, you know, I really hate this technology, and this is why we're going to have to come together as a community so that we can talk to one another instead of coming over. Okay, I see he's in. Press the 1, Wayne, if you hit the 1 so you can be in the queue. Because these machines, I'm out here in my truck. I'm in the house. It'll shut down on me. for no reason.
Yes, sir. Brother Swanson, if you press the 1 on your keypad, and that'll take you to the top of our queue. Well, I'm going to keep looking for your number, though, but if you can press the 1 on your keypad, that'll take you to the top of our queue. And
he said it was in. Let me see what happened.
You got me?
Is this Mr. Swanson?
This
Swanson?
Is he? Good afternoon.
Dr. Ridgely.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You both are alive.
Can you hear me?
Ah,
can you hear
there you
me?
Go. Good. Good evening. Yes, sir. I hear you, Doc.
Okay, great, great. Wayne, how you doing, man?
Just fine, sir. How about yourself?
Fine. You know, I saw you earlier today. You know, we just got went and picked up that hog trap.
Yes, sir.
And I just put out me some more feed, man. I'm going by what you're telling me, man. We got to do something about these hogs. But
yes, sir.
The real reason I had you on is that there's a lot of black folks moving down south from the city, and they're buying them some little plots of land. And, you know, they really haven't done their due diligence. They haven't gone and worked on another man's farm for a while as a voluntary basis so they can get the feel of what it's like to be on a farm and be out there in the countryside. You know, it's a whole lot different world. And if you think that the city life is unforgiving, farming life is very unforgiving. You best know what you're doing because you will pay for your mistakes. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, sir. And there's nobody to carry the bodies off in the country. You got to bury them yourself.
Yeah, and of course, if it was your body, then people got to find you first. But anyhow.
yes, sir.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that people need to know. And so how long have you been farming, brother?
As a passion for over 20 years, as a serious hobby, about 16, and as a business the last 12 to 13 years.
Okay. And what type of farming do you do?
I, believe it or not, I started out breeding dogs and wanting to get into being a dog breeder. So I was already into the genetics when I got into the cattle business. Then I got into creating. I created my own line of cattle, a specialty breed of cattle. I improved it, made it more user-friendly, and that helped me get into breeding some sheep, and I did breed some pigs and chickens. And I bred an animal or animals that can convert grass to muscle. Right? We don't have a feed bill at Swanson Family Farm. Because of that, we don't have a vet bill at Swanson Family Farm. It's all about the forage with us, all about the grass.
So I know you helped Brother Patrick get into farming. How'd y'all meet?
Yes. Actually, a common friend of ours, I had done just what you said in the intro, didn't know anything about farming. I had a lot of intersectional knowledge, but I hadn't farmed. So I bought 30 acres that I thought would be a good investment in an area that I thought would gentrify or that would become a suburb, and I just went at it. And I tell everybody I got the bank statements and the marriage counseling to prove that I went broke because I didn't apprentice, I didn't train. I just thought I'm sharp at what I was doing, and I figured I could just jump out there because I had God-given talent. And, you know, God said I should have studied with somebody first.
And so how'd you meet Patrick? And how'd you start working with him?
So a common buddy of ours, actually, Pat was actually, I want to see if he was at, a common buddy of ours introduced us. I was out of town for work. I hadn't left yet. And Pat calls me, I'm in Ohio. I'll never forget it. And he said, hey, man, I want to learn about the cattle business. And I usually tell everybody the same thing. Well, come work with me for about a year. And by the end of that year, you'll be ready to go and set up. And if you do it, Matt, not only will I make sure you have everything I have, I'll send you all my sources. I'm not going to mark up a price on you. I want you to be successful. There's so many people that have to eat. There ain't no competition in this. Zero. Patrick did everything asked of him and some. And I took and bought, we bought 8 cows. And I told Pat, I said, during your apprenticeship, because he was so faithful to the work, I said, we're going to speed this up. We're going to get you 8 cows. We're going to leave them at my place. And I'm going to put my bull over them so that when you get your – this is how I treat people who treat me well. When you get your place, your herd will double within 6-7 months of you getting there, because they're all going to be pregnant. Everybody's going to be pregnant, and you're going to have some great genetics to get you started. And that's what we did with Patrick. Me and his brother were so down working outside, we got struck by lightning together. You know how it crawls down in fence lines, Doc? If it strikes a mile away, goes underground, right, and hits that barbed wire, yeah, man.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to see y'all got back up.
Yes, we did.
So, you was telling, you know, we got these serious problems with these hogs, you know. We
just
started taking pictures of them, so you saw them, though. They come around. I've been trying to tell people how bad the hogs is, but, you know, the people come to, you don't see the hogs in the daytime.
Okay? No, they've been conditioned to stay away from us.
Right. And them hogs come in every morning around about 3:30, right?
Clockwork. 3:30 in the morning, they're coming to get their feed. And they're not like the deer. They eat their fill and they get gone. They know they are hunted.
You were telling me something about how sheep can deter a dog. We try to use dogs out here, but the dogs, they ran free. I mean, we couldn't make them stay where we wanted them to. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So
there's
I don't
layers
understand
to
how
to, yeah, there's layers. Okay, so there's systems that we have to employ. So first we got to knock down the hog population, because if we put anything you put a value in their way, they're going to destroy it. They're going to root near it. They're going to loosen it up because they made a hole near it. They don't dig, but they root. They're going to loosen up trees because they're rooting, and the trees are going to fall on your fences. So we've got to address that issue. Then we have to address.
What do you mean by rooting?
Rooting is they're little bulldozers. So they're going to put their face in the ground, their nose in the ground, and they're going to bulldoze up, especially under oak trees and trees that have fruit. And what they're doing is they are, one, compacting the soil, which kills roots. They're eating roots, and then they're lifting up other roots. So as the canopy of the trees catch wind, they're going to knock the tree down. So they're actually forest destroyers. Unless, you know, our habitat in North America did not evolve with pigs in it. So there's no natural deterrent to these pigs. All they do is eat and destroy. And their population, they breed like rodents. And they're as smart as a German Shepherd, maybe even smarter. So the systems that we have to employ are, one, eradication. As much as brothers love shooting at them and hunting them with dogs, all that has to stop. And you have to lull them into a sense of complacency, and then we trap them, and then they kill. There ain't no other way for it. They have to die for the ecosystem to survive. And then we employ fences. The fences do a couple of things. One, it's going to keep the last resilient hogs out. It'll also help you with your deer, but it's going to keep your herbivores in with their livestock guardian dogs. The livestock guardian dogs won't wander because they've got a flock to protect. So all the systems work for the good of what it is you're trying to do. Now, once you get the livestock in the fence, they're controlling your weeds, controlling your grasses, as long as we make a system to maintain them, and they become a protein source and a revenue source. And that's how I call it the triplicate. Everything has to be 3-ply. So it can't just be one thing. So if you had a field you want to grow peanuts in, that field during the rest period should also be a pasture. And not only is it a pasture, but it also is a place for your guardians. Yes, sir.
Yeah, what about watermelons and stuff? How does that work?
Same thing, same process. What we want to do is we want to improve the soil without chemicals. We can do that with our stocking density. We can also add fixed nitrogen to the soil with different plants that the herbivore that our grazing animals can eat. Or, like we were talking about today, we can get a bunch, and this you can get this for free, a ton of free hay that people don't want for their fancy cows. because it's older. That's beautiful for what we want to do, because what we're going to do is we're going to take it, put some whatever the, we need to put phosphorus or lime down, then we're going to overseed that area. We're going to cut it down. We're going to overseed it, and then we're going to unroll that old hay, and it's mulch. It's just mulch on a larger scale. So now we're giving our microorganisms and our invertebrates an opportunity to aerate the soil. So as that top layer breaks down and becomes soil, dirt, the animals will come up to get it. They'll drag some of the nutrients down. It'll aerate. And then those seeds the next season will grow like something, nothing you've ever seen before, and we'll run our herbivores on it. Our herbivores will manure into it, and then we'll turn that again, and that's going to put nitrogen in the soil. Plus, we're going to put nitrogen in the soil with legumes, and it's just going to, it's a beautiful, I love the process. You can hear, I hope I sound happy. I love this process. And it doesn't cost you as much health-wise or financially because you're using the system that God has employed for eons. You just got to have some patience.
So does this work on big, small, big farms, middle, small farms? Is it certain size farms that this will work in certain size farms that it won't work on?
Well, it works on a Serengeti just fine. So it'll work for a small farm. It'll work for a big farm.
So in other words, you're
saying
it's
the exact same system.
That really, this is this sounds like what the black farmers were doing when we came about in slavery. We bought 16 million acres of land. We did this type of diversified farming before.
Absolutely.
We got strung out with the this monoculture stuff.
Absolutely.
Trick us with
we
the
don't
USDA
want, we don't, we,
into that.
We're not doing anything mono, nothing. The only thing we're doing mono is trapping pigs. That's it. Everything else is going to be in triplicate. It's going to have three functions for every one tool.
Okay.
So we cut
and
down a tree. There's things coming out of that tree that's going to benefit us.
So you working with some other farms around here, right down in with
yes,
the,
sir.
The,
that's how we came in contact.
Joe
Sherrod. I was doing a pig survey for them, helping them out with their pig problem. And again, so this is kind of what happened there. If you get equipment from, say, the system, we know the history of this country. We're here. We know the history of it. Chances are what you're being given is antiquated because they moved on to something else and they need the space. So with these pigs, a bunch of black farmers got these small cages because the production farmers are following the science, and they realize, okay, we got to stop shooting at these pigs. We got to stop running them with dogs, and we got to stop trapping the dumb ones. And the smart ones figuring out, hey, we're not going near anything metal. You see what happened to Billy and Barney, right? They in there screaming for their life, and that farmer came and killed them. We're not going over there. I don't care how good the food is. So we got those traps now all over our farms. You go down southwest Georgia, all the black farmers got those little cage farms, and they're like, yeah, we caught two last week. But it's 1,000 of them out there. And what we are doing from the science is we're going after the whole family group. And we're going to put them down before the next herd of pigs can come see what happened. And we're going to put down, you know, we will put down hundreds of them. I had video at the other place of 30 of them at a time coming in. Somebody over there didn't have the patience, and they shot at the pigs. So when we went to redo the trap, I might have saw six of them. And the next day they asked me why I didn't shoot. And I told them, I said, well, look, man, I'm not here to educate your pigs. I'm here to educate you. You've already educated the pigs. And you're going to have to, again, follow the science. You follow the science with soil. You believe in the microbes and the mycorrhizal bacteria and all the things that help your root system. It's the system. We need to clean this system. And the pigs are, you know, they're destroying our system. You can't be profitable if the pigs are going to be in there crapping and eating over everything.
Let me tell people a little bit about what happened down here about these pigs.
Yes, sir.
There were a lot of small pig farmers down here in southwest Georgia until Smithfield was bought out by China. China bought out Smithfield Farms up in North Carolina. Now I think it's one of the biggest pig farms and slaughtering houses in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But now the farmers down here, there were no local markets for their pigs. So they had to drive all the way to North Carolina to sell their little few pigs. So what they decided to do, about 10, 12 years ago, they just let them loose. They let them loose. And now they've called feral. What's that word, feral?
Feral pigs. And, Doc, there's even some science on this. So a lot of times we hear about wild boars and pigs. We think of those big Russian boars, the big hairy things that are mean and nasty. That's not what y'all have. Y'all have pigs. The folks let their pigs out, and they have become wild, and they have become human savvy. They know your schedule better than you do. And we got the video evidence and the photographic evidence to prove it.
So now we have to outsmart them. And people don't understand how smart these animals are. You know, they think they're just dumb animals. I don't think so.
Mm-mm, not at all. They can tell a clock better than my 21-year-old. You know, them kids these days, they don't read clocks by the hand, but them pigs show up on time. If you give them the environment, this is what, you know, I'm always talking about Pavlov. If we condition a dog, in science it's called operant conditioning. Your grandmama and them used to shake a bucket for the chickens, right? That's operant conditioning, letting them know, hey, there's some food here. I'm the person with the food. Chick, 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 chick. We can't use sound. We have to use the pig's ultimate weapon, and that is his nose. So we are putting the food out. The first day we got nothing, right, Doc? Nobody showed up.
Right.
We let that smell linger. Next day, three or four of them showed up. Smell lingered some more. Those pigs say, hey, we found a good thing over here. Now we got a troop of them coming, a family group coming in. It's because we used their brain and because Doc has the patience and the wisdom to follow the science. Yeah, we could have shot three of them, but the 10, 15 of them that's in the woods watching, listening, when they heard that distress call, would never show up again and will register that smell and say, okay, we're not eating that anymore. That's dangerous. Let's go raid this guy's crops because it doesn't smell like what this corn is that's on the ground or doesn't smell like this wheat that's on the ground, so we're going to transform and just eat watermelon. And who's growing watermelon? So everybody congregate over here and eat the watermelon. The field's too big for you to shoot them. They're going to find a spot to dip out of the woods and eat and dip back in the woods. So you have to use You got to study.
We did have some people who were coming in and shooting them at night and sound like Beirut or Iraq out there in the middle of the night. But since we stopped growing peanuts, they didn't come because they want to shoot over the peanuts because the hogs, they stick up higher than the peanuts, okay, because peanuts spread out on the ground. But when we growing other crops, we weren't growing peanuts no more, so he didn't want to come because he's trying to take some hunters on a hunting trip at night, and they want to come back with some trophies. So,
expense.
We were stuck at my expense, right?
They only get
I didn't
two
pay
or three.
Them.
Yeah.
Right.
They only get two
right.
or three.
I wasn't paying
them, educating
them. I didn't know
I'm saying is your
the problem that I was
because, told. Yeah, exactly. That's all it is. And if we can convince people. Now, mind you, I'm a convert. I got dogs that were bred for pig hunting. I just spent some money 6 months ago on a dog called a Catahoula leopard dog because I was all in on the pig hunt. And then I started studying. I've been following these people for years, but I started studying on my own and then came and I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to move operations down to South Georgia. So I start studying what the potential hazards were. So mind you, I want people that's getting in the land to hear what I just said. I did not move somewhere before I studied the atmosphere. I studied the soil. I studied the history. I studied the animals. I made sure that when I go in, and I'm not saying that some of you aren't talented enough to just show up with a basketball and play in the NBA, but you got to ask yourself realistically, how realistic is that? You can't just open up a Subway shop and just say, I'm going to start Subway today and be successful at it. agriculture is a business.
Well, you know, a lot of people, listen very carefully, a lot of people think that farmers are dumb, and they think black farmers can't farm. They lost their land because they were stupid. I'm telling you what people believe. But
yeah.
Since I was working with the black farmers in the lawsuit, I learned how they were taken down systematically by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They did everything right, except they believe the U.S. Department of Agriculture's lies, and they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
took their land.
Done.
You're done. And they took their land. So, but they knew how to farm. They got great yields, but they didn't know the real deal. And that is that they was paying white farmers underneath the table, and the prices that they were receiving for their crop were not enough to cover the cost of production and pay for that high fancy equipment.
Correct.
Okay? And eventually they kept going further and further in debt until they foreclosed on them. Okay? But now we should have learned our lessons. Don't run after the big dollars. You know, find you a niche market. As a matter of fact, make sure you can – You don't want to just sell your sheep or your cows to the market.
Can I tell you about my market?
You want to get them slaughtered and cut up and sell it to the individual families like that and get paid. Am I right?
Yes, sir. I can tell you. I can read my spreadsheet down. So I tried that, and I realized I'm selling to this market for $6 a pound. I go back, if I want to buy something from that market, it's $14, $15 a pound because I don't use chemicals and we're a grass-based operation. So I find out who's doing the cutting, and there was a period in time I was using just about, me and Patrick, using just about every butcher in the state of Georgia. And some of them didn't like us coming. They, you know, they look at us and think we don't know what we're talking about. We had to go. A lot of times I had to go back there into the cutting room and show them how to cut. I had to show them how to age my meat differently than the corn-fed meat. But the money came in me being a boutique operation. It did not come when me and Pat had 50 and 60 cows. It came when we pulled all the way back, improved our forage. We had a product that looked different than everybody else's hanging in that cooler, and we raised the prices. That's where the money came from. The money didn't come from, and I tell people this all the time, don't tell me how many cows you have. Tell me how many cows can your land support, because now we can build a plan. Just because you've got 50 cows, your land might only be able to support 15, so that means you're buying inputs. You're buying food. You're buying extra hay. You're buying extra fences, because now your cows are hopping out every other day, tearing your fences up to get to the woods, to get to something to eat. Tell me how much livestock can your land support? Most people have no idea what stocking density is and don't get that type, because people are just saying, run out and do it. If these guys did it, you could do it. Just start with one cow. There's a science to this. And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying study a little bit so you can be successful.
So is anybody, Brother Carlson, and over the line, see if anybody want to ask Brother Wayne from Swanson Family Farms any questions?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brothers and sisters, we're halfway through the show, and you listen to Dr. Ridgely interviewing Brother Wayne Swanson, Jr. of Swanson Family Farms. And if you're finding what you hear interesting and you want to make a comment, or if you have a question, now's the time. Press the 1 on your keypad. I will open your line, and you can make your comment or ask your question. So right now, Dr. Ridgely, we are waiting for callers.
Okay.
Brother Wayne, no questions yet.
Yes, sir.
I have not been into animals. You know, we don't raise any on the farm here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm thinking about it. You think you can train a dirt farmer about how to handle these animals?
Yeah, because the most important thing to learn, you've learned it, is to be a dirt farmer. The soil is everything. That is the foundation of all farming. So I tell people, they're like, you raise cows for a living? No, I raise grass for a living. I'm a forage guy. Everything we do is based off of what kind of forage we can grow for these animals to eat. So you're already there. You already know about the soil, We know what amendments we got to do. We know what practices we'd have to take up. We know about rest periods. You're already there. Putting animals on top of it is the easiest thing to do at that point.
And we got to call it documentation.
Okay. Put them through.
Call it with the last four digits, 858450. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Awesome, Lakeham. This is Sister Vivian from Indianapolis. I'm really just totally fascinated with that comment about that you made, Mr. Swanson, about being triplicate. I think that's the word you used. And you,
yeah,
you described how you – it almost sounded like crop rotation, but with animals in the mix. Can you explain that again?
Yes, ma'am. I can give you an example of what we do at my place. So we will have a field that while it's being rested, we will host tours to it. So we're making money there. Then we'll grow a cover crop. Then we'll graze over it. Then, and this is the fourth thing, and then we may plant a family garden there. Everything you do on that farm has to have three purposes. We don't have enough land, enough time and money to just say this is only my cow field. You're wasting manure. You're wasting nitrogen. Because they're going to compact the soil down. They're going to eat too low. You're going to end up with parasites in their gut. Move them. And then every couple of years, move your garden to where you had the animals. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. That's just fascinating to me, though, because, like I said, it sounds kind of like the concept behind crop rotation, but you're rotating the animals.
It is exactly. So I had a guy tell me this one time. I was buying hay. He was like, why are you buying all that hay? He was like, just sit still. I said, man, I need grass. He said, man, just come on, cut some of them cows down and let one of them fields grow all the way up. And I was like, man, my wife does not want to see that tall grass. He was like, well, ask her what's at the top of the tall grass. And I was like, well, what's at the top of the tall grass? He says, seeds. He says, so you buying them, and God gave them to you already. Let it grow. And then he also told me that weeds aren't weeds. We're the only weeds in America. Everywhere else, they're herbs. Just about anything that you can grow, an animal will eat it, whether it's a sheep, whether it's a certain type of cow. Now you got to have a certain type of animal. You can't just run out and get. Everybody think Black Angus is the cat's meow. They only eat a certain thing, and then you have to feed them. But there are animals that came from North Africa when the conquistadors and Columbus and all them people bumped into America. They dropped off cows, sheep, and pigs in America. Then nature selected them over 500 years. To be parasite resistant, heat resistant, foot rot resistant, and those animals are still around. And if you're running a for-profit operation, your balance sheet is going to have liabilities in it and expenses on it. The profitability starts when you can lower those. I don't care what you sell your big fancy bull for. If you're selling for 20 grand and it costs you 18 grand to keep him, you're in the wrong business.
And so, but the key though is you got to have, because you don't want your animals eating in your watermelons and your vegetables. So you got to have a system of fencing that controls the animals.
But we're not going to waste them watermelon vines though, and we're not going to waste those. So we may get because watermelon is you know water, so it's a diuretic. We may go out there and bust open the watermelons, the ones that we didn't pick. And we may put them out there for 24, 48 hours and let them eat through everything. And they're going to manure it up pretty good. We're going to let them eat it. And then we get rid of if the vines keep growing, if we don't go out there and glean all the vines and pull them up and make hay out of it, they're going to eat them down. We'll run the cows through. Then we run the sheep through. We don't waste anything. And it also, so the way I look at it is my animals are my employees. So if there's a job I need to do, if I need a thicket cleared, I'm going to take 10 or 15 animals and put them in a tight, tight electric fence to where they barely can move. All they get room to do is put their head down and eat. and they're going to clear that thing for me. But it's one part, the conditioning to the electric fence. They don't, my cows and my sheep don't get out of electric fence. They mind it. I don't even have to turn it on. But I use the animals. The animals are the employees of the farm. And just like work, you know when you got a bad hire, you have to get rid of that person as soon as possible. They're going to wreck your operation. You don't respect the fence line. You don't respect the hot wire. You are gone. There ain't no two ways about it. I don't need to see it twice. I've done this long enough to know you're out of here. You're gonna, if cows and sheep have cultures just like we do. So if you're from a culture or a house where everybody in the house talks loud and yells all the time, you're going to talk loud and yell all the time. Same thing with cows and sheep. If they don't respect that fence, everybody else is going to not respect that fence, and you're going to be having a problem all the time, which costs money or fines or, God forbid, one of them getting on the street and, you know, your insurance deny you if somebody hits the cow.
Okay, we have another caller.
So what about,
can you bring the other caller on, Dr.?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Sister Vivian. And we're going to go to the next caller. Caller with the last four digits, 9014. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Hadia out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm just fascinated by the information we're receiving. I'm really impressed with your body of knowledge, Brother Wayne. And you mentioned study. Where do you begin? What topics do you begin with? You know, I'm a city girl. I don't even know if I'd ever have a farm, but how do you get started?
Well, I'm going to tell you, like I told Doc when I first saw him, I need y'all to help me. Doc has an encyclopedia in his brain. We got to get him sit down and do more forums like this where we can get that information out. But you want to start with people who are in this space now. What I find is you have to be careful. And when you are looking for somebody, you have to ask them, have you done this? Because the first year, anybody that has a guard is going to tell you.
Hold on. Brother Wayne.
Yes, sir.
I want you to slow down, and I want you to say that again. We don't need people coming to us with theories. Have you done this? How did it work? Not how you think
you
it goes.
This?
How did it work? But go ahead.
How did it work? Because they're going to tell you about the failure. And in telling you about the failure, they love you enough that they want you to skip that step. Not skip the lesson, just skip the step. Watch out for this because it caused me to fail here. It's coming for you, but I want you to be able to avoid it. So you ask those questions. Have you done this? How did it go? Were you able to replicate that process? So do you have a sustained, Doc has a sustained record of harvest. Talk to him. I have a sustained record of harvest. Talk to me. And you have to talk to people who've done that. I can't stand it when I get I give you an example today. Somebody called me today. Hey, man, we got an Angus that's out. We can't get it. Why? Well, we got it from my old guy. It was jumping his fence. Why would you take a cow that was jumping somebody else's fence? Well, my buddy told
me
we could calm it down.
Hold it. Back up and start over again on that, brother. They got to hear this, okay? He gave it to you because it jumped his fence and you took it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you took the cow that was jumping the fence and then bought it somewhere near people. And I tell people when they come out to my place and if I get to have a visit down there at Doc's place, first thing I tell you, there's stuff out here that can kill you. And you need to understand that. And one of the things that'll kill you is having animals that are bred with fear in them. My animals only have one bad day in their life. That's their last day.
Wow.
They don't jump. They don't run. They ain't scared of me. We don't hit them. And if I see you hitting one of my animals, me and you going to fight right then and there. And I ain't got the win I used to, but you going to know you was in a fight. Because I'm feeding people. I don't want to feed people fear. I don't want to feed them chemicals that got this animal all jacked up. He don't know which way is what because he's schizo. I don't want that. I'm not breeding that. So ask the people, have you done it? And then keep in mind, if you're new at this, most people got a problem that they want to sell you. Don't buy other people's problems. Because if you have a decent herd and you're conditioning them to you, your patterns, and you bring in somebody who's a rabble rouser, he might, that cow might also be a leader. That ram might also be a leader. He may turn your whole herd, your whole operation against what you're doing. Ask me how I know. Patrick and I had a cow that tried to kill us. We couldn't even go in the fence. I had one of the baddest dogs I ever had met. He went in there one time, came out, looked at me like, "Nah, boss, that, you know, keep the kibble tonight. I ain't earning. I ain't going back in there." Ask Patrick about it. 808 is her name. She had a baby. Me and Pat, when I say that Patrick and I have never had a cross word, when I heard that that cow had a baby and he kept the baby, I implored him. I said, "Pat, I love your kids. I hate to say it, like, just kill the baby. You can't have that. At some point, that other switch is going to click. There ain't no rescue. We can't afford to try to rescue stuff in this setting. Horses are different. You spend more time on horses than you do with cows. So if you want to run a profitable operation, you have to have things that are content to stay in the fences. You have to have plants that are content to grow and grow communally so that they put out their own pheromones to fight the bugs. And it takes patience because you're going to have to play with it a little bit. Agriculture is not the business you get in to be profitable in 2 years. Would you say, Doc, you're looking at 4 or 5 years maybe?
Well, 5 years to find out what's going on, and then another 5 years to find out how to do it better.
Right. Yes.
10 years, really, because 5 years to find out what's going on, and then 5 years to try to figure out a way to do it better, you got to experiment. It took us 10 years to learn how to do watermelons, you know, correct. You know, in 70 damn deer and hogs, we had it going on. Everybody know we had the best watermelons in the country. Well, it took us 10 years to perfect our system, okay? So it takes some time, and I got to say this. The old way of doing things is that what I have learned, I will be passing on to my son and my grandson, so they wouldn't have to redo what I did. But
yes,
now
sir.
They took all that from us, and now we got older farmers whose children are not going to farm, and we got new people who want to farm who never farmed before, never been on a farm. That's just they just messed up a whole system, and now we got to fix it. So now I can teach people what I know, but I learned the hard way. And then some people say, "Doc, can I come down and learn from you?" Well, let us get something in place first so that I can have a little bit more free time to even show you, because right now, even though I got a system, this system is working the hell out of me.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
And,
so we got to develop a better
system,
and then we can teach.
And sister, I would ask that everybody that I teach, I ask them to remember in this lesson that I'm teaching you, and I always use baseball as a reference. When I'm with Doc, I understand that he played in the Negro League, right? Not saying he's old, I'm just using this as an example. I'm in the Major League Baseball. The only reason I got here is because Doc put me on second base. I didn't hit a double. I'm spending time with wisdom. Wisdom is helping me get ahead. Too many people think that when they get this information, that they hit a double and they turn around and look at you and say, "Well, I hit a double. You should hit one." No, you didn't hit a double. I put you on second base. And I need you to put somebody else on second base, not cheer and wave at the stands because you think you hit a double. Because the time is coming, Mother Nature is going to find you. And any farmer knows you're going to get whole crops wiped out. You're going to have whole flocks of animals die or get killed by something. And if you didn't study the lessons, you can't ever get back to second base ever again because you didn't study. You were too busy waving. The other thing I tell all my clients is, please, the first year, limit that Instagram time. Limit the Facebook time because they only showing you the happy stuff. You're not competing. Your only competition is with the dirt. That's it.
Yes,
you
sir, but
good
so
enough to train somebody. Question. Yes, ma'am.
What topics should you be studying? Agriculture, and it's a wide topic. And then
yes.
Do you have any apprenticeships or, you know, workshops where people can come and learn, or because
we do.
Have a vast body of knowledge that needs to be shared.
I'm in transition, but I would tell you, first thing, study, sister, is the soil. The soil is the blood of the earth. Study the soil. Get soil tests. Learn the different, you know, go back to your periodic table of elements so you can know what they, when you look at it, you know what's on there. And practice. Plant something, see how it goes. Plant something off, way off by itself, see what happens, see what eats it. Plant some things together, see, okay, well, over here, my three sisters theory still works. My corn, my green beans, and my squash works. But over here, it doesn't. Why? Know what's coming to attack you. Before you go out and just, I'm saying do both. Do. Continue to do an experiment and then grow based off your experiment. One of the biggest mistakes I made was I started out with a one-acre garden. I had ambition. I should not have done that. I should have taken a season, started small, found out what was going to attack me, and then go get bigger. So I studied the soil, sister. Study the soil.
Yes.
What
sir.
About YouTube? You know, everybody goes YouTube University.
I'm a graduate of YouTube University. I believe. We had a conversation today, Doc, where I told them people I've been following them for 8-9 years on YouTube. But, again, I'm looking at the people who are vetted. I'm not looking at the – I like people who don't edit their videos because it's not a show. When you got music in a video and you got all these flashy, you're not showing me information. You're selling me a show. I want the information. And most of those people don't edit their videos. They're just showing you what they've got so you can learn from.
Is there anyone on YouTube that you recommend?
For if you're doing animals, there's a guy named Greg Judy. He is me on like the fifth scale. This guy puts 300 cows and 1,000 sheep in 5 acres and lets them eat and then moves them the next day. He's awesome. And, you know, I get a lot from him and then people connected to him. But I also spend a lot of time, whatever state that you're in, I don't agree with all the information, but go ahead and link up with your, on YouTube and social media, your extension agent. There's a lot of good information. And the extension agents are starting to learn the old ways again because now everybody's going back. You know, before 1940s, we really didn't farm with chemicals. They came back after the war with all those nitrates, and they had to use them somewhere. So that's where we got all that those nitrate fertilizers from. So now we're starting to go back to the old ways. It's healthier, lasts longer. Mm. The animals are more healthy, and the plants work better. So
let me piggyback on what he just said. Excuse the pun. The extension service. You know, I've told people from the very beginning in the Ministry of Agriculture, if you're going to get some land, first of all, see what the other farmers in the area are doing.
Yes, sir.
And if you want to do something that they ain't doing, you better go to the extension office and ask some questions as to why damn people ain't doing this. Don't be trying to say you're going to be so secretive. You got something so secretive. You don't let anybody know. So I ain't going out there telling people, the white folks, what I'm about to do. You better tell them damn white folks what you about to do because somebody done tried that before.
Uh-huh. Probably tried it spot
at
the you folk. Got.
That's at the spot you got. That's why they sold out. So you better go talk to somebody. You can't go
I
out here.
I call that doc getting the history of the soil. The soil is everything. You better ask them old people what's going on. I'm thinking
right.
about buying
this. And Mr. Vivian, did you have another question?
Okay. I'm saying you better make friends.
Well,
you better make friends with the white farmers around you.
Yes, sir.
This is based off of what Dr. Ridgely and Brother Swanson are saying now. It brought to my mind there's a lot of believers that are buying a lot of land, and they're not farmers, and they're not they don't have that background. And I'm wondering if maybe they need to – well, they need to be on this call, but also if they were on this call, what would you tell them? I myself am working to relocate to Georgia. What do we need to know about the soil? Because that was one of the first things I started looking at. But is there any guidance you can provide specifically about Georgia soil, and then in general just guidance about what to do before you go buy in farmland?
Yes. So what I've been counseling people is I've stopped probably 10 people this year, maybe another 10 or 15 last year, from buying raw land. If you don't know how to operate big machinery, if you're not familiar with the forestry industry, don't buy raw land. Go ahead, buy something that is improved, a farm. You're going to pay a little bit more money for it, but the fences are up. There may already be a well there. There are structures there, maybe even a house that you can live in. Until we get to a place where there are more of us in the land clearing space, because right now, when they see us coming, this happened to Doc and I today. These people saw us coming. They had no idea what I knew. So you can see it on their face. I don't know if you called it, Doc. I called it. They were like, oh, here they go. They don't know what they're doing. And that's how you're going to be treated in Georgia. And until they realize, oh, this man knows what he's talking about. Now we're friends. Y'all want some coffee?
That's right.
The person was, come on. Let me show you this thing. That's America. That don't even bother me no more. You got something I want, I want it. I don't need to tell you how smart I am. You ask me some questions, I'll answer. And that's what you're going to run into in Georgia. There's some great people that will help you out, but there's some people who are looking to list every penny you have because we've made it known that we're buying land. I stopped a brother up in North Georgia from buying a ravine, a 100-acre ravine. They told him it was a food plot.
What's a ravine? What's a ravine, brother? Tell him what's a ravine.
Ravine is a big ditch. You can't do nothing with it. It's a big V. You can't farm it. Maybe you can put a zip line.
Why can't you farm it?
Well, it doesn't have any topsoil. and anything's going to get washed out.
And time the rain comes, everything you got is going to be washed down the damn creek.
Everything's going to be washed down the creek. So look at the land. My advice is always hire somebody. It's cheaper. A guy like me might cost you $150, 2 hours, maybe a little more to go out there and put eyes on the place. Even your real estate agent, you need to ask your real estate agent, are you familiar with farms? The same thing we talk about the farming. How many farms have you sold? Were they hobby farms? Did the people want to get into farming? Can I talk to those people to find out what resources they used in that state? Ask those questions. Do not be afraid to ask for somebody's number because they could be the difference. People, we love each other. I don't care what anybody tells you. If I can help you out, I'm going to help you. If it gets beyond the point of help, I'm going to send you an invoice. But I'm going to let you know I'm going to send you an invoice. And it works out beautifully.
Thank you for that question, Sister Vivian, and thank you for that answer, Brother Swanson. Dr. Vivian, we got another caller. You want to bring that caller on?
Yes, bring him on.
Sir Andrea, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely, for bringing Brother Wayne on. And let me just say, this information is phenomenal. And anyone that I know who is seriously talking about moving down, as many of us are, to Georgia on farmland, I've got to tell them they need to be listening to Time to Lead because so much valuable information. I just had to call and just say thank you both. I will listen to this again and again and again and pass on the information that everybody needs to be listening to this before we make a move. Thank you so much.
By the way,
yes, sir.
Do you want to give them how they can contact you and about your website and how they can contact you?
Sure. You can contact me at Swanson Family Farm on all social media platforms. Our website is SwansonFamilyFarmLLC.com, and you can send me questions via the website.
That's SwansonFamilyFarms.com?
Swanson Family Farm on all platforms. SwansonFamilyFarmLLC.com. That's our website, so you can look us up, and you can ask me questions via the website.
LLC. Okay, great.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, Brother Carlton, any more questions?
That's it for now. We're down to the last 5 minutes, Dr. Ridgely.
Okay, well, like Sister Andrea said, I hope y'all are listening very carefully and realize that you need to go to the Swanson Family Farms LLC.com and study what he has done and then ask him questions there. You know, in terms of YouTube University, first of all, you got to have you got to know how to ask the right question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you got to be able to weed through it and see which ones make the most sense. And like you said, not somebody trying to sell you something, but somebody who wants just to show you what they've done. But you got to have the right question. You know, I tell people in my book, The Science of Business of Farming versus the Hobby of Gardening, is that if you go on, like you go to an auction and you're looking at some land and you notice that there's patches, ain't nothing growing in that patch right there. You know, something's wrong. Because one thing about it, even mm-hmm. if it's set out for a while, something's supposed to grow there. So if it ain't growing, ain't nothing growing there, that's a problem. And then certain types of weeds will grow in very poor soil, but they won't grow in good soil because the plants, other plants, will shade it out or block it out. But if it's low in nutrients, certain plants won't grow, and then these certain weeds will take over. So you need to talk to the extension service and find out for that area what are the signs of poor soil. What are the signs? What are the signs? What grows on a poor piece of land when it's set out, let out, you know, when it's been sitting there for a while, and what grows on a good piece of land? See, those types of things, and then you can just look and say, no, this sucker here will out. Okay? But you got to know the right questions to ask. And like I said, out here, you better make friends with the white folks, the extension people, okay, because they know something you need to know. And if they see you serious,
mm-hmm.
I got white people all around me who I need something, I know who to call, okay? Even tractor repair people, I know who to call, and they'll give me the right answer. Even help me out because they got respect for me. What? They got respect for myself. I am owned by the Nation of Islam, and they know that. They respect them. So I can get what I need from them. But now these hogs and these deer have pushed me to the point that I got to change the whole system that we're working in because that ain't working for them either. They got serious hog and deer problems on their farms, and they got people out shooting and all type of stuff, but it still is not cutting it down. So we got to move to a whole different methodology. That's why we go do this. We got to develop these whole rotational things. So we'll be making some changes around here, and we'll let you know as it go. But I thank Allah for running the brother Wayne through brother Patrick, and inshallah we're gonna make things happen down here. And Muhammad Fong, assalamu alaikum, family. Ooh.